This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 138 of the Healthy Critters Radio on the Horse Radio Network. Healthy Critters Radio is brought to you by BioStar US. Find them online at BioStarUS.com.
On today's show, we discuss our favorite hoof products. Breed of the show is the Golden Retriever. In Critter Nutrition, we focus on Tigger's favorite CBD products for dogs. And in Coffee Clatch, we ask, what dog sport should be added to the Olympic Games? Listen in. I'm Tigger.
And I'm Patty.
And I'm Coach Jen. I'm here to wrangle these two. We stop by your earbuds twice every month to talk about all things animal and healthy. Thanks for joining us. This is a part of the show where we sit back and chat a little bit, catch up on what we've all been up to since we last spoke. That's usually a couple of weeks apart. And right before we sat down to record this evening, I was watching a video of the horses traveling from Europe to Tokyo for the Olympics. It was a fun little video, a little 10-minute thing. And I find it so fascinating to watch that whole process. It stresses me out just watching it because I have a horse who's not a good traveler. So I'm stressed out for the horse's behalf. Like, oh my God, that must be so stressful. And they're just strolling onto the airplane and then off the airplane and into the horse van. And like, there's nothing to it. So I thought I'd quiz Tigger and Patty because they left themselves open to quiz. I'm going to start.
Your fault, Tigger.
I'm going to start with Tigger this time. Tigger, have you ever had a horse that you owned go for an airplane ride?
Yes.
Tell us.
Flew from New York to Belgium, and then on the return flew from Amsterdam back to New York.
So this horse went, what was this horse's name?
Lionheart.
Oh, so this was Lionheart did this. Oh, cool.
Yes.
So Lionheart went for a competition.
This is a four-year-old, but I wasn't with him. This time I traveled with him. And there was another horse that was supposed to go with us, and they canceled at the last minute. I was already in New York in the quarantine stall. And so Lion was flying by himself. Poor guy.
Wow.
He was all by his lonesome. And it was a Saudi cargo plane with American pilots. And it's a big 747. Mm. And, you know, there are no seats or anything. But it's really cool because the area for, you know, people who are going with the horses, if you know the upstairs in the first class of a 747, well, that's kind of where you are. And the Saudis obviously want to feed their pilots well, so there's a ton of food. And then there was a mattress in the back of this space and some blankets if you wanted to sleep. And, of course, I was spending most of my time climbing down into the bowel of the plane and checking on Lion. And the pilots were explaining how they changed the oxygen mix so that the horse is relaxed. And he didn't really eat much. He ate a little bit, drank a little bit. And it was really kind of cool because when we landed in Brussels, it was about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, Brussels time, and it was a full moon, and the pilots me sit up in this little jump seat up with them. Oh, that was really cool. That's, wow. Unfortunately, we land, they come and, you know, the horses are in a container. It's like a stall that's metal, and It can be divided into three stalls or one stall or two stalls. And Lion was in a two stall. And so they take the horse off in the container. And they were having Sabinza, whatever that Belgian airline, they were having a baggage handler challenging strike. And we sat on the tarmac for an hour.
Wow.
Before anybody came to move Lion and I and all my tack trunks and all that stuff. Yeah, that was exciting. And then the horse goes into another quarantine. It's just it's a stall, and there's a sort of a groom's bed there. And then you just wait for the vet. But the funniest part of this, and you know, you're pretty exhausted because I drove from Virginia to New York the day before, and then the next morning I'm flying to Europe. And so the guy from the stable in Holland, who doesn't speak any English, shows up to transport Lionheart and I to the barn. He speaks no English. He opens up the back of the van, and he has the hay nets. It's a slant load. He has the hay nets on the right side. And I'm looking at that and going, no, the hay net's supposed to be on the left. And rather than going, well, Tigger, in Europe, they put the hay nets on the right. That's where the horse's head goes. I lead Lion up and put him on the left because that's what we do in the U.S.
You put him in backwards.
And the Dutch guy went bananas. Like, I had to be the dumbest creature on earth. So
you were sleep deprived.
I was definitely sleep deprived. Going back, we were with a shipment of like 20 horses, sales horses. And so there was, I think there was a groom for every two or three horses. So there was like 10 of us. And it was a different configuration. We had seats. It was still a cargo plane, but we were in like first class seats. And, you know, there's no entertainment or anything. There's no movies or anything. But, you know, everybody, we took turns going down and checking the horses. And so, yeah, it's – and then, you know, once you land in New York, then they come and get the horses and take them to quarantine. It's really – it's a big deal and it isn't a big deal. Learning about the oxygen really made sense to me because they just keep – it just keeps them, the horses, from getting too anxious.
I didn't know that. That's pretty amazing.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Patty, have you had any flying experience with horses?
I have not personally flown with them. We were a quarantine station. So we, and I, you know, have bought horses from Europe. So I've had tons shipped over, but nothing to Tigger's extent at all.
So since your experience is different, but I think it's interesting to learn about. So from the point of view of someone who is going to have horses that they are responsible for flying about. Let's say you have bought a horse and the horse needs to fly to the United States. Is that something that, who takes care of all the arrangements for that? The person at the destination or the person from the departure?
Yes, both. we just imported two horses in January and pretty much, it depends, I think, on like
just
we,
call
we
Tim Duda. Just call Tim Duda, and he will take care of everything.
Yeah, and you know, but there's also the like arrangement of like that part too. But like, if you sell a horse, sometimes they suggest people. We always just end up using Duda, but there are arrangements on both parts because then once you get them, because like us. Because of all the COVID stuff, we bought horses from Holland. They weren't shipping out of Holland. They were shipping out of Brussels. So they had, or Belgium. So they had to go to Belgium, which is not a normal thing. So then we had to make arrangements, travel arrangements to get them there. And that was our responsibility to get that, which was not that hard to do. But then from there, once they got into New York, then we had to get them down to us in Texas. So there was a couple other loops that we had to go through with all the COVID stuff. Not horrible, but just a couple more things. And the whole reason we did it the way we did it was because we couldn't go over to Europe. So we, you know, just handled it that way.
So do horses always fly into New York, or are there other options?
Miami.
There's that. Yeah, there's Miami. Yep. Sometimes Atlanta. Time ago. Mainly it's
New York and Miami.
New York, Miami. And yeah. And being in Texas, you chose New York because?
One, because of the time of year, and two, at that point, it was exponentially more expensive to fly to Miami.
That's just like people airlines. Depends on where you're going. Mm-hmm. The price is different. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there you go. Well, I was I have never had a horse fly. I don't know anybody personally. Now I do. But I find it just fascinating. And one of these days we need to get a guest on to talk about take a deep dive into the intricacies of the paperwork, because that terrifies me, the paperwork.
Yeah, but that's the wonderful thing about an agent like Duda. I mean, when you have your passport, meaning the horse's passport.
Well, see, I don't even know what a passport is. We need to have somebody to talk about passports.
Ah.
Yeah. There's
I'm a neophyte.
Passports, but you have to have a passport to come over.
I'm a little bit, I have to trailer my horse. All I'm doing is trailing my own personal horse from Florida to North Carolina to go to a competition. Well, I am so nervous about, oh my God, I've got to have all the shots in order and I have to have a whole certificate. Oh my God. I'm a wreck.
Yeah, you're not used to bringing horses into Florida every season, and you have to have a health certificate. If your horse is registered with USEF, you order a passport. I mean, it's not a big deal. You just have to pay money.
Have to pay money. See, the last time I drove a horse across state lines, none of this applied. It was 30 years ago.
You can't enter Florida with a horse and not.
Well,
have,
you know, and I
a health certificate.
There, one of the venues I go to frequently. Probably 3, 4, 5 times a year, is I have to drive past one of the Florida ag stations, and everybody has to go and pull into the ag station.
Yep.
And it's always interesting because each experience is different. Because you have to show you have to show the horse's Coggins test, but at least 8 times out of 10, they look at the piece of paper and say, "See you later." They don't look in the horse trailer to see if there's actually a horse in there.
It depends on who you get.
It does.
I've been through there where they stopped. They didn't. We didn't unload, but they looked at the markings. They checked it. Oh yeah.
Yeah. See. Yeah. And I've had the whole range. I've had the ones who are very. They look at it. They check the age. They look at the markings. They look in the horse trailer. It's like, yeah, he's got white legs. And then I've had others that are completely the opposite. They look at the piece of paper. They see the date, and you're on your way.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's so interesting that way. Well, there we go.
I've never had one look at markings in the 30 years I've been going back and forth.
I've had it twice.
I would say most of the time I've had them get out and just make sure there's actually a horse in there and like look about. I've never had anybody just hand me paperwork and go see you ever.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that interesting? So there you go. So put that on your list of potential guests, Tigger. Someone to come on and talk about horse passports, how they work, who needs them, all that kind of stuff. I'm fascinated. Okay. Yeah, there we go. So quiz time is over.
Yep.
And we're going to move on to our round table because square would be boring.
Correct.
Right.
And Tigger's topic of the day is our favorite hoof products. Now, what inspired this topic?
You.
Oh, me?
Yeah, because you love talking about feet. You're obsessed with feet.
I am. That's true.
So I figured it would be a topic that you would find particularly engaging. So that's why I chose it.
Aw, thanks.
To honor special. Jennifer.
Yep.
Oh, and I have so many favorite hoof things that this was an easy one for me. And one of the things I just used this evening when I was putting Nigel back out, he got a whopping big abscess a couple of months ago.
Of course.
Which left behind a giant hole in his coronet.
Ugh.
And it's growing out very nicely. And he is also prone to quarter cracks in his hind feet. So something I have discovered that is a real lifesaver when it comes to growing those sorts of things out is something called Toe Grow. And it's from a company called SBS Equine makes this stuff called Toe Grow. And it's a concoction. I don't know what's in there. I know there's copper in there. That's all I can tell you. But it comes in a gel and you put it on hoof that needs help. I use it for those big holes that he gets, or if he gets a quarter crack being the one that starts at the top and goes down, not the vice versa. Quarter cracks can be very painful. They're different than sand cracks, people. So I keep Toe Grow around, and it really does make a difference where you put it. So check into it, do a little research. If you have a horse that is prone to damaging their coronet, it also helps people fingernails grow better, by the way, because you put it on with your fingers.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, I noticed that. it's also supposed to be good for any skin and hoof, similar things. If you have horses that are prone to getting scars on their little itty bitty boo-boos, if you put some on there, they say.
Huh.
Haven't tried that. So yeah, check that out. That's one of my top ones. Toe Grow. Two separate words. And it's made by a little company called SBS Equine. They only have about 6 products. And I had never seen it before I came down here to Florida, but our local packaged goods store, yes, we have a horse packaged goods store. All they sell at the entire store is things for horses that come in buckets and bottles. It's all they sell.
Okay, that's the store.
And they just built a new store, and the new store is the size of a small grocery store.
Whoa.
And it's just packaged goods. So, hashtag love Ocala. There you go. So that was really one of my top ones. For things that every barn should have, hoof boots. Every barn should have hoof boots. I don't care what kind of horse's hooves your horse has.
Yeah, I agree.
Every barn should have hoof boots, whether it's the kind that you wear when you're riding or the squishy kind that you wear when they travel. Something you can slap on that foot when they rip their shoe off or step on something that's more durable than duct tape.
Yeah.
Isn't that what duct tape's for?
See, it's so much easier
duct
than duct tape.
Duct tape is on my list of the must-haves in a barn for feet.
Okay.
Yeah, but I love the hoof boot. And the night people whine a lot because, the hoof boot's so expensive, because you can pay up to $100 for a hoof boot, but you can also get them for $49.95. But you buy it once for the horse's entire life. So if you get one that's kind of a median size for a whole bunch of horses in your barn, believe me, when you have one that needs to have their foot covered and they need to be hand walked, or they need to be turned out, or they need to travel home, or they need to spend the rest of the week at the horse show because he's not going to compete because he just screwed up his foot. It's so much easier to slap on whatever you're going to slap on and put the hoof boot over it, and you're done. You don't have to redo it twice a day.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you have on your list besides the duct tape there, Tigger?
I have animal Lintex.
Yep, that's on my list too.
Okay.
No barn should be without that.
Nope.
I also have Epsom salts.
Yep. Have you ever used a product called Rebound?
No, but I've heard of it.
I've really gotten to be in love with Rebound as an alternative to the Epsom salts and animal Lintex, because Nigel wears glue on shoes, so soaking his feet are not not ideal. It's not really good for that whole glue thing. So Rebound is, they actually, the young lady who invented it did her, I want to say, I don't think it was her dissertation. It was one of those final projects you do when you're higher education on this product. So it's really got some really cool science behind it. And that's what I frequently use that as an alternative, because I can do it without having to get his feet all sopping wet and saturated. Mm. So that's a cool one. So,
I also have Hoof and Soul. Now, Hoof and Soul is a BioStar poultice.
Ooh.
But it's made specifically for feet. And you can use it as hoof packing. You can use it to draw out an abscess. You can use it to wrap all around the foot if it's sore or bruised, and you don't need to then wrap it like animal latex. Just leave it, let it dry and absorb the toxins and fall off.
So if I was going to put it on the outside of the hoof, on the hoof wall, I would be like putting it on the coronet.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of put it on there like icing a cake.
Yep.
And then just
and
leave
just
it be.
Let it. Yep. Just let it be.
Ah, I like that. Would be very useful down here in Florida, where they tend to, because by letting it dry, you're allowing the hoof to rebalance its moisture content. I would
correct.
Think.
Correct.
Oh, I like that a lot. Mm.
And it's a great hoof packer.
Mm, interesting. Mm.
And my other, Patty is going to laugh because I'm sure it is on her list. But if you need a good hoof conditioner.
Oh, I know what it's going to be. I know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I know. Coconut oil.
Yes.
Of course. If it wasn't on the list, I wouldn't be talking to you, right? We use coconut oil for everything.
Oh my Everything. Gosh, that's funny. Okay, Patty, what are some of your go-tos that we haven't gotten to yet?
Magic cushion is a good one to have.
The feet, mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and we've used Play-Doh before. Sometimes too, really? But I like the magic cushion. Yeah, and for sure, the Epsom salt. And duct tape.
And duct tape.
and we have those soft ride, we'll do the soft ride boots too.
Those are pretty cool, aren't they? Tell everybody about what a soft ride boot is, because some people might not be familiar.
Well, it's a boot that goes over the whole hoof, and it can be for various different things. Like if you have a horse that's unfortunately foundering, or if it really bruised a foot, or they're really sore, or something's going on, it's just a soft cushion that they stand on, and it stays on their foot. So
it's like a bedroom slipper for your pony.
It's like one of those, what is the memory foam slippers?
Wow!
But those are wonderful to have.
Because they're made that you can use them on the hoof, whether there's a horseshoe there or not, right?
Yes. Yeah. I have one of my client's horses. He just doesn't like to travel, and he doesn't normally have any problem with his feet, but they put him in those, they ship him in those. And when he gets to wherever he's going, a horseshoe, his lesson, whatever, he's much, much happier.
Really?
And he has shoes on.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. How interesting.
Yeah. And the only other thing I would say is, like, I used to use Ichthamol all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Good old Ichthamol.
That even works good as a nice emollient for horses that would have terrible, chronically dry feet. You just massage a little of that into the coronet.
Yep. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. But that's all of mine.
There you go. Well, and since I'm hoof obsessed, I have one more.
Hoof. This surprised me.
Hoof glue.
Hoof glue.
There are a lot of different glues available now that are designed specifically for horses' hoofs, either to patch missing areas or to glue a shoe on. And these products can be purchased in single serving size. And the one I have is called Equilox, and I like it because it's super easy to use and it's pretty much dummy proof. But again, you're at a competition or you're at home and you're doing training. Horse rips shoe off, leaves giant hole in hoof wall. If you're not sort of person who feels comfortable putting a patch on that, that's fine. But then you have it. Your farrier comes out to replace that shoe. Well, your farrier might not be a glue guy. He might not have that. If you've got it in your tack room, you hand him this little tiny butter tub. Okay. He slaps it on there, waits 3 minutes for it to dry, and you literally... It's just the exact same physical properties as hoof wall. So you nail the shoe on the same way you would.
Wow.
Normally. So when you have that giant piece of hoof wall that comes off along with the horseshoe, it can really save your butt because it can help the shoe stay on and the horse can continue on his merry way and he can continue to work. But it's a nice thing that you have, even if you're not going to be the person using it, it could be a real lifesaver for your farrier because he can just whip it out there and put it on. It rasps just like hoof horn, and it comes in black or or whitish, so it kind of blends into the hoof. Yeah.
Well, that's, that's a really good one.
You just made me think of one other thing that's so important to have, and it's hoof related, but it's the more frog is tomorrow cream.
That's brilliant. I forgot about that one.
It's the bomb diggity. So what tomorrow cream is they actually use it in cows and mastitis, but there's an antibiotic property to it. So if you have horses that have any sort of like thrush going on or anything like that, get ready. And, you know, I don't know if you do it with a cotton or not, but you can take a little string of cotton and put it in there to really help it stay in there. I always just kind of put it right. It just fixes their feet right up.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Today, I accidentally got the today one day. They have today and tomorrow.
I think the today one will work. Either one will work, but one has the antibiotic, and I think it's the tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time.
Have you heard of this, Tigger?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Patty.
No, you go ahead. Because you're so excited. It's horrible.
Again, they sell it at the tack shops down here. The first time one of the farriers down here said, "Do you have any tomorrow?" I'm going, I hope so. Do you know something I don't?
I want to go, tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow.
I was a little confused. I had no idea what she was talking about. Yeah, but you're right. That is, it's if you look on websites that carry products, agricultural products, like Tractor Supply, places like that, that carry products for farm animals in general, you will find today and tomorrow. Like you said, tomorrow is really the one you want to go for. And it comes in a little tiny, it looks like a miniature tube of dewormer. Yeah. And one tube will last you a long time. It's like, down here, they sell one tube at a time. It's like $6.
Yeah.
So way worth having around. And if where you're at, they only sell it by the box full, which is typically how it's sold from the manufacturers. Just find a couple of friends who also have horses, because somebody's always getting thrush, and split it up.
Yeah. It's funny because one's for like mastitis, and then for cows, and then the other one's for lactating cow. Like the whole thing is kind of funny, but it works. The tomorrow cream works fantastic.
Great tip.
Yeah.
Great. All right.
Speaking of tips.
Yeah.
We got to talk to Hetty.
Woohoo.
Hello.
Hetty.
Hi, Hedwig. Did you mean to call me this time, or was it a mistake again?
No. And I wanted to let you know my condolences that your servant had ankle surgery yesterday, and I'm sure is not in any shape to be the servant that she normally is to you, and you have my deepest sympathies that she's probably feeling a little discomfort and not able to serve you to the greatest extent.
She's an ongoing disappointment.
Well, are you nurturing her at all?
No. Have we met? I'm not a nurturer by nature.
Does she have it?
I lay upside down in the middle of the living room floor using my hind feet balanced against the couch. And then when she got up on her crutches and had to navigate a very small space, I refused to move.
Huh. Of course you did. Well, what is your assessment of how your servant is doing in her beginning stages of recovery from surgery?
I mean, you know, we were already at such a low point that how much lower can we go? Now she walks on these sticks that make a lot of noise and can crush a tiny dog. I just don't even know how much worse things could get.
Oh, never ask that question, Eddie. Never ask. Yeah. She could get on the internet and rescue a bunch more Pomeranians. You just don't know.
That's right.
Because she can't get up and about.
Is she getting good medals?
No, because she refused them because she's a nitwit. I needed those.
Well, how is the rest of the pack dealing with the servant's recovery?
Well, my goblin brother is very concerned about her because he's a bit of a nitwit himself. My sister's being nice to her intermittently, as one would expect. My two new sisters were too scared of her when she came home because she smelled wrong and she was ugly and everything, but they've gotten past it now. She's been home for a whole day, so mostly I just think, you know, we're just hoping she'll die quickly, you know. Sometimes you just have to let them go, I've said. You know, you don't want to prolong their suffering.
I don't think she's going to die, and I'm sure in a few days she's going to feel a lot better, even though she'll be on crutches.
I'm just saying, you know, sometimes it's the kinder thing to let them go.
You know, you're really uplifting, Hetty.
I was going to say, but who would feed you? How would that go?
Other lives here right now.
Okay.
And she can't feed us anyway, the servant, because she has to walk on the sticks and she has no hands. Basically useless, as far as I can tell.
Well, you know, it's the thing about a Pomeranian. If you can't be dealing with focusing on their needs and you need them, they go, yeah, whatever.
What needs does the servant have exactly that I can fulfill?
Love.
I don't understand.
Companionship, cuddling, support.
Ew, that's disgusting. She has a cat with her right now. That's fine. She's pretty sure the cats have become nice to her, though, because they think she can't resist, that she's too weak, and then they'll just stay on her while her body cools, and then they'll start to eat her face.
Oh, stop. Jesus, Hetty!
It sounds really lovely there.
The cats will just eat her.
Well, on that note, everybody at Healthy Critters wishes your servant a speedy recovery and a as pain-free as possible. Because we know she's
got
to...
We'll send you an invite to the funeral.
Jeez.
It's not going to be a big affair.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks when she's feeling better and you have a sunnier outlook.
Okay.
Bye, Hedwig.
Bye, Hed.
And now it's time for the breed of the show.
So we are at the breed of the show, and I have decided to do a golden retriever because it's one we've never done, and we have a puppy within our family, and I thought, perfect dog to do.
You do?
Tigger, you've never, pardon me?
You have a puppy?
Not me, but within the family. I went to go see my new grandbaby, and her other grandmother just got another puppy. And he is, he's so cute. So I thought, why not? This is such a great breed. You've never had one, have you, Tigger?
I have not, but I've had a lab.
Yeah.
And I have lots of friends who have Goldens, so retrievers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and for great reasons. They're like ranked, I think, third or fifth on AKC most popular.
Yeah.
And for very good reason. Third. I think it's third. So they are golden retriever is true to its name. They're a medium to large dog that was bred to retrieve waterfowl or game birds in the water, which is great because they have a very dense coat that helps repel water. which is perfect for that type of sport. They're also known for a very soft mouth. And if anybody has ever been around a golden retriever, they have very lovely, oh my gosh, they have the cutest, softest little mouth. But what a soft mouth means is that they pick something up and they don't really bite it. They just hold it very softly.
Yeah.
Which is one of the known little attributes. They've got many fabulous qualities, but one of the biggest things that I love is that they're really known for their trainability, but their dependable temperament. So they're, you'll see them a lot for disability or assistant dogs for blind or for the deaf. In fact, one of my daughter's very dear friends actually breeds them. And literally the litter, most of the litter, every time they breed, is sold to guide dog programs, which I think is kind of fantastic. Very rarely do they go as pets, but they normally go for disability dogs. And a huge portion of that is because their temperament is very reliable. They're known as being a very friendly, even-tempered dog, outgoing, very confident, fantastic with children, which is kind of an interesting point to talk about, is that they're not known as a one-man dog. Now, they when they have their job and they know what they're supposed to do, if they're being trained as an assistant dog, that's very much their thing. But as a family dog, they love the whole family. They don't specifically lock onto one person, which is great if you have a bunch of kids, and they're just very, very even-tempered and very easy to get along with. They're very playful, very trainable. They do require, they're, you know, a medium to large dog. They do require to have about 2 hours of exercise every day, which would mean, you know, that could be a walk. It could be throwing the ball a little bit, have a little pool on the side, like one of those little baby pools. They love getting in the water, and it's a very natural thing for them. They love getting in the water. There's several different types of the breed. There's the British American, also Canadian, but which means that there's just going to be different shapes to their body type. For example, the British tend to be a stockier, not as tall, broader headed dog with a lot more bulk, where the American tends to be a little bit lankier, taller, and a little less muscular. But all types are required to have the same protocol, which is a golden color, which is rich, lustrous golden of various shades. So you can see there's very, very light golden, almost what some people consider white, to almost a red.
Called an English cream.
Oh. The English cream. That's a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful. And it's just a, like, just such a light. I think that's the puppy that I just saw is more of an English cream. But their lifespan is up to about 12 years, which is great for a medium to large dog. They do require a decent amount of grooming, you know, weekly, probably not too dissimilar to any other long-haired dogs. The males get up to about 24 inches, anywhere from 65 to 75 pounds. The females are about 22 inches up to 65 pounds. And they're just simply a wonderful dog that has a wide variety of things that they can do. They can do conformation showing. They can do a little bit of agility. They can do obedience. They're just sort of that, you know, when you think of an all-around dog that can kind of do anything, they're not going to be great for speed, but they're just a great all-around dog. And they are, as we were talking earlier, it is the biggest thing is always getting connected with a decent breeder and asking questions if you decide to go the route of buying a puppy. But it's just a great breed. I'm surprised I haven't had one. I've thought about it.
May I make one suggestion? Like many, many breeds of dogs, you do, when you're looking for a breeder, there are some specific health issues with golden retrievers, partly due to their popularity. So make sure that the breeder has done OFA on hips and elbows and a full genetic panel, so a health panel, so that the parents, you know that the parents aren't carrying
the different
a serious, yes, and a good reputable breeder will have done the health tests and the OFA. Yeah, and they Goldens have hip problems. I mean, they're notorious for hip dysplasia, and
like lots of
the big breeds. This
absolutely.
Is, I'm not.
I mean, it's sort of like a disclaimer.
Breeders. Yeah.
No, I mean, like lots of different breeds. You always want to do the investigation, but like Tigger, like you said, if you don't do your research with a breeder and find out all these things and have all the X-rays and all the genetic testing, then you know you will be running some risk. And sometimes it's not a problem, but it is so much better to find out ahead of time because they are such a wonderful family dog.
Super dog.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're at Critter Nutrition, and I'm going to talk about CBD and my favorite CBD products for dogs. I have used a lot of CBD products for dogs. I love hemp, and I got involved in hemp in 2000 with the first hemp seed oil that was sold in the U.S., so I've had a 20-year relationship with the plant. The thing about CBD that I really want to emphasize, and this is true for horses, for dogs, for humans, a product that works for your dog's particular issue, let's say it's anxiety, and you tell your friend, you know, this worked great for my dog. You have a 50-50 chance that it won't. We don't understand why this is, but CBD in particular, CBD from one company can work great on a dog, and another dog in the pack, it won't do anything. See, so unfortunately, as a consumer, you kind of have to find the right CBD to fit that dog and what that dog's issues are. And the main issues I'm going to discuss are anxiety, CBD, and mobility, because CBD can be very helpful for the older canines who are a little creaky and need a little analgesic support. At the top of the list, and I am not tooting my own horn, but I'll start off with BioStar's Trinity. It's very low in CBD. It's not a high potency CBD, but it's combined with the greenlit mussel and astaxanthins. It's a joint support product. And if you have an older dog or a dog that has, you know, run really hard that day, and you know is when he gets up, he's kind of going, whoa, I really used myself today. That's sort of what Trinity is for. But if you've got a dog with anxiety, Trinity is kind of not your ticket. The two that I like best, and I probably have tried 20, maybe 25 different companies CBD for anxiety, because I have a intact male Crockett who is the boss dog, and that gives him anxiety, and it's not all the time. He's sensitive to certain noises, like we have neighbors that like to shoot their guns off at 1 o'clock in the morning. That kind of makes him anxious. So he doesn't need it all the time. It's just when he gets stressed. So the first one is by a company called Honest Paws, P-A-W-S, and it's called Calm, C-A-L-M, and it's a chew, which if, as long as your dog isn't in the moment of anxiety, is great. So, in other words, if I know that If Crockett is a little bit off his feed, that's telling me that, you know, his anxiety is starting. And then I'll give him a treat. And that just, when I say mellow him out, he doesn't go to sleep. He's just at ease. It's very flavorful. When I give it to him, the other dogs want some. And it's got tryptophan and the amino acid L-theanine, which is good, again, for serotonin production. So it's relaxing, but it has not put him in a stupor. I haven't tried to, but I really like the product. He likes eating it. So I recommend Honest Paws Calm. The other product is Canna, C-A-N-N-A, Companion. This is developed by a vet. It's a liquid. Comes with a little syringe. You just fill the syringe up to the dose that your dog needs and squirt it in his mouth. I find this really good for the dogs that have an injury. Thunder Bear, you know, got injured and last year, and dealing with his stress, this was awesome. And it took me several different products to find the right one for him. This will make them feel, you know, mellow, but again, it's not going to conk them out. They're just going to chill. And when you, if you want to get up and go somewhere and do something with them, they're ready to go. They're not groggy or drugged. So I really like for anxiety, you know, if you've got a dog, fireworks, car rides, whatever, strangers. If you've got a dog that doesn't like meeting new people, both Honest Calm and Canna Companion, I really like these two products. For mobility, that is beyond what Biostar's Trinity can do, in the case of my 13-and-a-half-year-old Aussie, Kemosabe, he's on Trinity every day. And for about 2 years, he moved really, you know, like 95% sound on it. In the last few months, he's a lot less sound. In fact, if I was going to make a noise as to how he moves, it would go, he's, you know, a little irregular up front. He's a little irregular behind. So I found this company called Elevet, E-L-L-E-V-E-T Sciences. It's had a clinical trial, so it's got some good science behind it, and they use CBD and CBDA. They added glucosamine and chondroitin, while I can't say it's made him 100% sound, because I don't think anything can, it's certainly made him more more even, and he can trot a little bit longer distance before walking. Before, he could trot like, you know, 5 or 6 steps and he had to walk. And now he can, you know, maybe trot down the fence line, which is a huge improvement. So I don't have a dog that has maybe as severe arthritis as poor Sabi does at this point. This would be a really great mobility product, and probably very good for a very active dog that you just want to give some support to, you know, maybe after a day of doing agility or dock diving or hunting, because you will get some comfort out of the CBD. So those are my recommendations for CBD. And again, if you try these and they don't work on your dog, don't panic. The nature of CBD is finding the right formulation for your dog.
Real horses and real dogs are healthier, perform better, and recover more quickly on real food. That's why BioStar empowers horse and canine owners with 100% whole food nutrition, supplements, and feeding programs. BioStar products are made at their own certified non-GMO facility in Gordonsville, Virginia, using real food ingredients that are raw, freeze-dried, or dehydrated, never cooked, and are free from artificial flavors, colors, soy, corn, wheat, and molasses. The BioStar product line includes a wide range of whole food, horse and dog supplements, treats, and unique artisan poultices that embrace the ancient and traditional uses of clay and plants. Visit BioStarUS.com today and learn about whole foods and canine and equine nutrition so you can make the best decisions about the care and health of your horses and dogs. That's BioStarUS.com. Whole food nutrition the way nature intended.
So my question today in Coffee Clatch is, what dog sport should be added to the Olympic Games? Because last night I was watching something about, the horses being in Tokyo, and I went, wait a minute, we have equestrian sports. Why don't we have canine sports?
Hello.
And, you know, we have fencing, we have surfing now, we have rock climbing. I mean, wait. How about a dog sport? Yeah. So the first one that came to my mind was, and I think it's perfect. I think we should have, in the Winter Olympics, we need dog sled racing.
Oh, totally.
For sure.
Yeah. You know what we need to do?
Iditarod. It can be a modified format, but oh my God, I think the viewer support for dog racing would be enormous.
We could have dog sled racing, and we also need to have snowman pulverizing for the those tough breeds of dog that go flying through the yard.
Said the woman that lives in Florida.
Yeah. Okay. Or for dogs that have alternative lifestyles, we could have snowbank peeing.
Now, wait a minute. I'm thinking of things that could actually really be incorporated as a serious Olympic sport.
Okay, well, you didn't say serious, did you? You didn't put that in the notes.
The peeing would still be happening. That the peeing would be commencing.
Yes, there would be an over-under on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, you could have sort of a search and rescue sport.
Okay, but like, why not have dock diving or even agility?
Oh, absolutely. That summer games, dock diving and agility.
Oh
snowball catching for the winter games. Snowball catching. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Jack Russell terrier races.
And terrier races are a must, yeah.
Yeah. Or lore racing. I mean, there could be so many things.
Yeah. Yes.
I would still watch that.
They could have ski joring with dogs. They have that thing where they get pulled along on their roller skates by the dog. That would be cool.
Or they do that with skis.
Yeah, and they could do a slalom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I honestly think
the Olympic Committee is really missing out on a big segment of the population that enjoys watching all the other sports, but you know, why the heck aren't there dogs?
There
sports?
Need to be dogs.
I really wonder why. Seriously. I mean, cause it's
I do too.
I think it would be something that so many people would enjoy.
Oh, 100%. And you can still make teams and it's still the team of the human and the dog. I mean, I can see where, you know, maybe terrier racing isn't up to like sled dog racing where the musher is really, I mean, that's like riding, you know. I think it's...
You know, if you wanted a team sport that involved a terrier, you could have terrier recall contest because that's challenging.
Yeah, just by the nature of the terrier.
That's right. Any terrier breed, it's open to any terrier breed. Yeah. Terrier recall. Championship was 4.5 minutes to get him back from 50 feet.
And you know, the other thing is freestyle. Doggy freestyle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There, I mean, yeah,
that's getting very popular.
Well, I love agility. I love watching agility.
Agility is amazing.
I think that's a big, yes.
That's a summer games thing. And dock diving. Mm-hmm. After the swimmers are done, then, and the divers done, then you bring out the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, anybody on the International Olympic Committee that's listening to Healthy Critters, hello. Bring on the dogs.
I am so there.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks to our sponsor, BioStar US. You can find them online at biostarus.com.
Get the Horse Radio Network phone app on iOS or Android by searching for Horse Radio Network in the App Store. It's free and easy to use.
For details about today's show, go to healthycrittersradio.com, where you can find links, photos, and more information about our guests.
As always, we love your feedback. Please follow us on Facebook under Healthy Critters Radio.
Be sure to visit all the great shows on Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
Love your dog.
Hug your horse.
Feed your chickens.
Clean your litter box.
Dance with your goat.
Slither with your snakes.
Howl at the moon.
Hang with your hamster.
Party with your parrot.
Waddle with your walrus.
Outwit your otter.
Cuddle your cows.
Rap with your raptor.
Go chipping with your chipmunks.
Forgive your fox.
While hedging your hog.
We also recommend that you rack with your raccoon.
Gyrate with your giraffe.
Meditate with a meerkat.
Uber with your orangutan.
Facebook with your flamingo.
Ponder with your panda.
Walk with your wookie.
Yawn with your yak.
Twitter with your toucan.
Go reining with your reindeer.
Dropbox your dragon.